Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. We are coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, where you can always join us. You can call, you can text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. If you are going to be out and about on Saturday in the Waukesha area, it's not far.
No.
Waukesha Farmers Market this Saturday from 8 until noon. I will be down there with our buddy David, who helps us to set up. So stop on by the Civic Media Tent. I would love to meet you. I'd love to chat. I'll buy you a cup of coffee. I'll buy you a scone. Dave from New Berlin texting in. Jane, I might come out to see you. I feel famous when you read my messages on the air. Jane, I admire how you clean up my beep language. I might buy you a cup of coffee. Oh, thanks, Dave. You don't have to buy me a cup of coffee. I will buy you a cup of coffee. I'm when I get out there and buy a whole bag of scones.
Oh.
Maple and bacon scones. Best, one of the best things in the world. And also hello from Sherry from Horicon.
I was just going to say, Sherry says hello. Sherry said hello to me the other night when I was on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Oh, nice.
Just such a, just a good egg, that Sherry and Horicon.
Again, you can always join us too. 855-752-4842. Come and visit me. Waukesha Farmers Market this Saturday, 8 until noon. Some of the, honestly, though, some of the most beautiful produce I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Everything from lettuce to radishes to onions to you name it. They've got it in fresh flowers, and there's all kinds of tchotchkes you can buy, and it's a great farmers market. So come on out this Saturday, 8 to noon, right in the parking lot of the Waukesha State Bank along the river down there. It's a really pretty venue. A new segment we are debuting today, which I think is going to be coming really handy.
Oh, yeah.
Grifters, thieves, and cheats.
Grifters, thieves, and cheats.
Grifters, thieves, and cheats. Okay. Kind of a big umbrella.
Yeah.
Lots of things fall under this umbrella.
We could be talking about a lot of people.
Yes.
Or one person doing a lot of things.
We're going to kind of cover both of those in this segment. From the Associated Press, the IRS announcing today, it has already collected $1 billion, with a B.
There it is.
$1 billion in back taxes from high wealth tax cheats. What a terrible thing.
Not hardworking American blue-collar family people, salt of the earth, middle-class Midwestern folk. Who was that again?
Billionaires.
Exactly.
Really, really, really wealthy people.
Yeah.
And this is thanks to the Biden administration's climate, health care, and tax package that was signed into law in 2022 because, one party in particular has been strangling the IRS for the past decade and not giving them enough funding so they can go after these high wealth individuals whose taxes are can be very complicated.
Yes. Yeah.
And it takes time to go through all of this stuff. And they didn't want them to do that.
They also use their favorite tool for the people, which is disinformation, by always saying, 72,000? I think it was 72,000 agents. They kept on saying that number over and over again to try to put into your mind this army of IRS agents who are coming to your home and taking, with the left is coming for your guns, the IRS is coming for your money. No, these are people who need to do their job, need proper funding, and have recovered, say it one more time, how much money, Jane?
$1 billion. $1 billion. As part of the efforts last year, the IRS launched a series of initiatives aimed at pursuing high wealth individuals who failed to pay their taxes. The IRS focused on those with more than $1 million in income and more than $250,000 in tax debt.
Yeah. And I'll bet you a lot, I'll bet you some of my pocket money against your pocket money that some of these individuals who got their money, who had to go through the process of being properly taxed, pay those taxes, those fines, and I'll bet you any amount of money they negotiated fines and penalties off to get the money to the IRS, it didn't even make close to a dent in their wealth.
No.
Their sheer, disgusting, offensive wealth is nothing. But these people, they can't pay taxes. They're
the job creators.
They're the job creators.
They're the job creators.
If they don't have that money, Jane, that sixth yacht is a dream.
Well, how embarrassing.
I know.
How How totally embarrassing.
How do you hang out with Elon and Bezzy and all those other guys when you only have five yachts?
Republicans threatening a series of cuts to the IRS. In 2023, House GOP built a $1.4 billion reduction to the IRS into the debt ceiling. That was passed in the summer of 2023. It included a separate deal to take $20 billion from the IRS in just 2 years and divert the money to other non-defense programs. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream. Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Mark from Prairie du Sac, thank you for joining us on the debut of Grifters, Thieves, and Cheats.
Yeah, it's interesting here, and it's unfortunate the Supreme Court didn't announce, you know, strip the FCC of its power so we could all use the correct descriptive language for this stuff. We actually remain FCC compliant. So this same kind of thing happened back in the Walker administration when Walker refused to fund our own Department of Revenue to go after the people that are cheating on their taxes for the Wisconsin income taxes. Our union leadership was part of the union's committee, election, our union's leadership committee. But, I mean, we had guys that worked there at the Department of Revenue that said every extra dollar we spent on, doing audits and that kind of thing produced, I can't remember what the dollar, but far in excess of the dollar.
Oh, yeah.
Spent on this. I mean, it's, you get the money, and these guys find the way to avoid their taxes. And it struck me today. I seem to remember Donald Trump when he was running for office in 2016. He promised to get rid of the carried interest loophole, and he did not do that. In fact, he probably enshrined it in his big old tax cut. So I mean, these guys are part of the work of government is we have to collect taxes. It was recognized when we drafted the original Constitution. We've modified that over now centuries. Since our nation was established, that we decided to tax income under the 16th Amendment to the Constitution. And these guys find insane ways of hiding their wealth, and that part of governance is government is to produce a public good, to serve the general welfare, period. And they seem to, they don't think that the general welfare is something we should be doing, but it's drafted right into our Constitution. It's in the preamble to the Constitution, and is it Section 8, I guess, of the Article 1? It probably says promote the general welfare.
Mark, and I thank you so much, Mark. Really appreciate it. And I guess what always blows my mind as well is when people talk about the good old days, when America was great in the 50s and 60s. Do you know what the top tax rate was in the 1960s?
What was it?
It was like 90%. Or in the 50s, 91%. It was very high, but that's when unions were strong and the middle class was growing and the wealthiest Americans were paying their fair share.
Mm-hmm. And they thought they may not have liked it, but they did it. And I always love that idea of like, go back to the 50s and the 60s. You know what? That time sucked for some people too, but that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
Mark, you're absolutely right. And I always go back to this quote, Oliver Wendell Holmes, a Republican, said taxes are what you pay to live in a civilized society. It's what you pay to live in civilized society. And if you don't like it, go somewhere else where they don't take your taxes. And good luck putting out the fire when your house burns down. But also, I looked it up. I wanted to clarify the point that Mark also made as far as for every dollar you get this. It's for every dollar audited, we get $12 back.
That sounds like a pretty good return.
That's an amazing return by any stretch of the imagination. And so, yeah, this is... We've had people call in the past on this topic and try to hem and haw, and none of them have been billionaires, which always begs the question, why are you defending the depletion of funds to the IRS? Why are you defending people who are cheating on their taxes, who are hiding their money? Do you think one day you're going to be a billionaire? I have some harsh news for you.
But I do think they think that.
You won't be. Even if you win the lottery tomorrow, you're not going to be these people.
Thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act in 2022, IRS hired hundreds of skilled accountants after years of shrinking staff, some focusing specifically on a special group of tax delinquents. including 1,600 households with incomes above $1 million, all known to owe at least $250,000 in back taxes. Facing understaffing in the past, the IRS leaders admit, in the past, they just didn't even try to collect those for years because they didn't have the staff to do it, because it takes time to go through these very, very complicated tax returns filled out on behalf of their wealthy employees.
Yeah. And I also imagine that some of these billionaires and mega millionaires are calling their friends who happen to be senators and congressmen and say, hey,
do something about this.
Do something about this.
Yeah.
Do you want to get reelected? Do you want to be invited to that party that gets you all those donors? Then call your buddy at the IRS and have this taken care of. And that probably just became, I mean, that's the attitude of this country now. The wealthy do not, in theory, they should pay their tax. In theory, they should follow the laws. In theory, they should be punished when they do something wrong. But they don't, and we accept it. And we move on, because we all have this idea. It's like, well, they're wealthy. What are you going to do? Something. And this is something.
This is something, and it's having a pretty good return.
Yep. Agreed.
Working pretty well up to this point. Again, the IRS announcing today it has collected $1 billion, with a B, $1 billion in back taxes from high wealth tax cheats, and that is courtesy of the Biden administration. Mm-hmm. And I can guarantee you that if the former president is reelected, that will go away. Which will be great for the ultra wealthy.
Absolutely.
Well done.
That'll be just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, that was the first. They'll probably they'll shut the IRS down. And I'm not being hyperbolic there. They hate that building. They think what they do is criminal and thievery, but they are the thieves, grifters, and cheats.
If you would like to join us, 855-752-4842. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Will we come back again? Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board. Join us. We're coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, 855-752-4842. If you're watching in the live stream, you can leave a comment there as well on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is the debut of a new segment here on Matt Nair on Air. Grifters, thieves, and cheats. Big umbrella. Yeah. Lots of things to cover. Lots of people being sheltered by this umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
Including Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. This just keeps getting crazier and crazier. Washington Post article this morning, there are gifts, lots of gifts. Two senators wrote to Attorney General Merrick Garland this week saying, yeah, maybe you should look at Clarence Thomas a little bit more closely.
Yeah.
Private jet travel and country club membership, private jet travel, luxury sports tickets, lodging at a fancy ranch. Clarence Thomas is having a good time. And he has been having a good time for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, I get excited when someone hands me 400-level baseball tickets. This guy is getting private jets and luxury cabins and just the treatment.
Well, and the stuff that, I mean, some of this stuff, this is from the Daily Beast, goes back to 2003. A little yacht trip to Russia and the Baltics. Also, a little helicopter ride.
Just a tiny one.
To Yusupov Palace in St. Petersburg, which is one of Vladimir Putin's places he likes to stay. That's in 2003. 2006, Clarence Thomas got tuition for his grandnephew at a private school. 2007, a little yacht cruise around the Greek islands. 2008, more tuition. This time for a grandnephew at Hidden Lake Academy. 2008, Clarence Thomas, a little yacht trip between Savannah, Georgia, and Charleston, South Carolina. Lots of round trip, private plane trips. Nice, nice way to travel. Same kind of names keep coming up as the donors.
Yeah.
I know, it's shocking.
Yeah.
You'll never believe that a lot of these guys might have cases coming before the Supreme Court.
What?
I know. Harlan Crow, Anthony Welters, David Sokol, or an affiliated company. And Clarence Thomas is just like, my bad. Did I not put that on the disclosure form? Oopsie.
Oopsie doodles.
I hate when that happens.
I got a lot of things on my mind. I'm trying to steal the autonomy of women's power of their body. My wife is in my ear about overthrowing an election. I mean, I've got things to do.
I got so much going on at home. It's crazy. Matt from Germantown listening here on WAUK. Are these bribes or gifts? Oh.
Ah, there it lies.
Good.
The rub.
If the gift happens after, but then another ruling happens after, does that make the first gift a bribe for the next action? That's an interesting question, Matt. I think pretty much now they're all gratuities.
Yes, exactly.
It's a tip.
Yes.
It's a tip. Because the Supremes just ruled on that too.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, if you pay someone ahead of doing the action,
yeah,
that's a bribe. If you pay them after doing the action, that's a gratuity.
So am I bribing Jimmy John's when I get my lunch?
I don't know. What are you doing?
I'm asking them to make me food and I have to pay in advance. So I feel like, is that a bribe? Like, hey, make me my lunch.
But you pay them after they make the sandwich.
No. I pay ahead. Oh. You pay ahead of time and then they deliver it. They don't deliver until you give payment. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to understand the very clear rules of this all regarding gratuities, tips,
and bribes.
Bribes.
I have to believe that most Americans would be disturbed by any Supreme Court justice getting luxury yacht trips and vacations, little fancy luxury trip to Bali. Mm. Around the Greek islands. Aren't most of us uncomfortable with our Supreme Court justices being the recipients of such largesse and then making such sweeping decisions for the entire country and essentially not being held accountable to anyone?
No. That's the thing that burns my biscuits about it too. Like, we talk about the six right now, but there are all nine of them believe that they do not need outside oversight. All nine of them.
Which is so disappointing.
Yeah. None of them believe they need outside oversight. They can do it just fine. Meanwhile, I'm sure right now as we speak, Clarence Thomas is remembering, that's right, I have a third grandnephew who I needed a tuition for. By the way, who cares about their grandnephew that much to get tuition? I will never. If my grandnephew was like, I need your help, like, yeah, talk to your uncle or aunt. I'm a one level above that. It's every time I hear that grandnephew, I'm like, that's a big thing. Like, that's not cheap. Those schools are not cheap.
No, this is private school tuition.
You're securing this money, and now you are embroiled in this for a grandnephew.
That's such a small piece of the grift, Greg.
Yeah.
It really is.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, if you look at this whole list, and we'll put the link to this Daily Beast article in the show notes if you want to take a look at it a little bit later, it's really quite something.
Well,
and
yeah,
we're not going to get any closer to any ethical oversight over the Supreme Court if Donald Trump is reelected.
Yeah.
And one more thing briefly.
Yeah.
There's nothing to say that Trump couldn't expand the court.
No, there's nothing that says that any president can't expand the court. I'm not a huge fan of that. I feel like that creates a problem for the future. If Joe Biden were to today say, I'm going to add two more seats or four more seats, get to that odd number. Okay, cool. But then what happens in 20 years when they all go away? And then you got one, two, or four more justices who don't agree with the original person who expanded the court. Now you've got what will feel like a super majority in the courts.
Which we already have.
We have a majority. I, they're, sometimes, you know, I mean,
Amy Coney Barrett, of all people, has been kind of...
She's been wishy-washy. John Roberts does not always skew...
John Roberts is gone.
Well...
John Roberts is gone as an arbiter of fairness. I don't have any confidence.
But my point is if you have 13 people on the court or 11 people on the court, and you have two liberals versus 9 or 11 conservatives or vice versa, that goes back to what you say. No one wants a superman. No one wants all the power, because then that doesn't bring real change and real, you know, justice, if you will. So I'm personally packing the court. It makes me feel weird.
I'm not saying it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying don't leave out the possibility that Trump could do this.
Yeah.
If he gets reelected and put 3 or 4 more extremely right-wing, super religious people on the court.
They'll tell him put 9 on there and be like, okay, cool, I'm going to add 9 more, because 9 is better than 8 and 8 is better than 7 and he's got to be the coolest.
We're going to lighten things up when we return from the news. J.R. Radcliffe, sports guru for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, will be here to talk all things sports balls. We're going to wrap up the show with Brittany Merlot and a little weather and wine. We have some very hot weather coming up. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. We are coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can call, you can text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If, say, Greg Box, someone missed some portion of today's program and they would like to listen to it later, what should they do?
Tough noogies. No, you can go to civicmedia.us or your favorite podcast distribution center of choice, and you can download our show as a podcast. There's 2 episodes per day, each hour of the show. It'll go right to your phone, and you can listen to us on the go if you've missed us. And then also, you can subscribe to the show as a podcast, and then you can also rate the show as a podcast. 5 stars, please.
We'd like that.
That really helps drive visibility on that. And if we haven't given you a 5-star review, we're going to have you send all the complaints, questions, and comments to either Calvin or our next guest. They will sort it out and take care of all of the complaints. Please, grammar is not necessary and spelling is negotiable. So
yeah. And J.R. Radcliffe, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports guru, I know you're completely prepared to handle all of our complaints. So we'll just include your email in our show notes, and we'll let people reach out to you.
You know what? That's totally fine. I love dealing with complaints. I love politely responding to somebody who is unhappy with what we've written. Sometimes with perfectly good points, and sometimes it's like, well, you see, we did write what you're saying we did not write, and here's an example. And thank you so much for reading. I'm so happy that you opened our website today.
Isn't that interesting, though? And I think you bring up a really good point, JR, in that. If I didn't see this article on the day when I'm thinking about it, then you never talked about it. Because we will hear comments from listeners saying, why have you never talked about this? It's like, well, we talked about it yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, you might have missed it.
It's true. Actually, it's sort of important, I think, for us to constantly be not retelling the same stories, but at least, you know, just because we wrote about it last year doesn't mean it's going to be something people can find on Google if they Google that this year. So there are things that we will repurpose because we know that's how, you know, what have you shown up in my feed for me lately sort of thing. But we are cognizant of that. But, you know, there's only so many ways you can answer a question online and then have people, you know, well, we haven't seen this yet. And I'm like, just Google it. It's there, I promise. But.
Plus, all of the complaints and quote-unquote hate mail you get must be hilarious, because when we get people upset with us. They're like, you are liars and disinformation, and you are nothing but liberal scum and hate America. You get like, well, Christian Yelich is still the best batter ever. You don't know nothing.
But I bet because people are so passionate about sports, I bet you get inundated with criticism about whoever you're covering.
I would say that I don't face a fraction of what some of our political reporters face, and some of the things that stuff you guys are talking about. I don't face any of that. Sports is a lot of fun. I think most people have fun. But yes, I really see it when I make a list of any kind. Like, here are the 10 greatest brewers of all time, let's say. And I'm sure that I would get several responses saying, well, actually, it should have been this. Most of them, though, are very friendly. We don't have a lot of people who are just like, you're an idiot. You don't know sports. You've never seen the Brewers play. You know, I don't get anything like that. Let me tell you a really cool story, though, but something that happened to me yesterday. I previously had written a story about the greatest Brewers players that were never All-Stars with the Brewers, because the All-Star break is coming up. So just sort of a rundown of some of the best players that never made an All-Star team. And there was a guy from the 70s named John Briggs, who I imagine most Milwaukee Brewers fans don't remember. The Brewers weren't good yet. So we did I included him. He was on there. He's got good numbers. Never an All-Star, but got good numbers. And I got a note from his daughter saying, my dad would like to talk to you. So I passed along my number, and he called me yesterday. He lives in South Jersey, and he was delighted that he was on this list.
Oh, nice.
He was very excited. So
JR, you're the sweetest.
That's really cool.
Completely made my day. I mean, I was just looking at numbers. I wasn't, evaluating beyond that, but he still gets people sending things in the paper, and he was excited to see his name. So that's very funny. So he's 80 years old and lives in Jersey.
Oh, that's lovely.
Well, speaking of Brewers and baseball, where are you at right now, J.R. Radcliffe?
Ooh, I am at the artist formerly known as Miller Park inside the bowels of American Family Field. We're getting set for some Thursday baseball action. I will be covering it for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today. So, yeah, I'm in the press box, actually.
Oh. Do you ever need a best friend to help you with stuff? Like, carry
Greg is a good carrier of things.
I'm here.
Greg, I love it. I love the fact that you are volunteering.
Yes.
I have a lot of friends that can help me carry bags, and so I think I'm good today. But, Greg, I'll be back on Saturday. We can talk.
So, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter. So, the Brewers this week got shellacked on Tuesday, 12-2.
Indeed.
Not a good showing. 5 home runs, one of them a grand slam. But I want to talk about Pat Murphy for a moment, because for one thing, his post games interviews are great. And when they lose, there's always still a sense of hope. There's always a sense of, we can learn, we got this, we're doing better than, don't lose faith on us. And then he goes and does something which I believe makes him what I think is the Ted Lasso of the Milwaukee Brewers, which is he goes and has T-shirts made for every single player with the word, in Brewers font, the word undaunted. And then he prints the dictionary definition of that word and puts them on their like in the locker room. And what did we do last night, JR? Tell the people. What did we do last night?
They flipped the tables, and they themselves presented a shellacking to the Pittsburgh Pirates and won 9-0.
Yeah.
So that's a very Ted Lasso believe moment if you watch Ted Lasso.
I think it's important if you're a big league manager to be able to grasp and convey one thing, and that is there's just too many outcomes for one game or even one week of games to dictate how a team is or what they're capable of doing. If you went to bed Monday night, well, the Brewers have lost 4 or 5 games. They just got crushed by the Pirates. They have to face Paul Skeens on Thursday. There's a really good chance they lose that series. Are they going to go into the All-Star break with on a losing skid? The Cardinals are chasing them. It's very easy to feel like the vibes are terrible. And then you go to bed Tuesday, well, the vibes are great. Tobias Myers just threw 8 shutout innings, and the Brewers just won. So it's really easy to get caught up in the outcome, one outcome or 5 outcomes or 10 outcomes. So it's important, I think, that he can convey that. The T-shirt thing is perfect. It's especially good. My colleague Kurt Hogue captured this last night. Tobias Myers, who had such a good start, is a perfect embodiment of that. He's a guy who, he's really young, but he's been dropped from a few organizations. He's been traded a couple times. Few people along the way who didn't believe that he could be a big leaguer. His first pitch as a big leaguer was a home run. Literally his first pitch by Andrew McCutchen of the Pirates in Pittsburgh was hit out for a home run. And he is legitimately the type of guy who's just undaunted. He's like, that's going to happen. I've had a lot of hiccups in my career. I'm going to come right back. He ends up turning out a really good start that first time out. He has had some very bad starts, but now he's on a run of very, very good starts. He's been one of the biggest surprises of the season to this point. So he is a perfect embodiment of it. This team is relentless. They don't have a lot of star power. They don't. We've talked about that a lot. But they are they are a first place team, and their lead grew yesterday pretty substantially because the Cards got swept in a doubleheader. So they gained a game and a half, and they're up 5.5, and things are right now looking pretty rosy.
If you're just joining us, J.R. Radcliffe is here. He is the sports guru for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Going to be down at the game a little bit later on today as the Brewers Ooh. Are back in action once again. I like Mark Murphy, too. I certainly don't watch him with the attention that Greg does, but he just seems to have a very different media relationship.
He's got a different vibe.
Yeah, 100%. And we've made note of that before. Like, Craig Counsell was, I think, very good at his job. I say that completely, full stop. I think he's very, very good. His relationship with us was a little more buttoned up, a little bit more, you know, like, if I could express it in one word, it would be like, look, a sigh, and then the word look. Look. That's Craig Counsell.
Yeah.
He doesn't like to reveal too much. He doesn't like to get caught up in sort of the superfluous narratives around baseball. And I can understand that. Pat Murphy is more of an old school guy, which maybe can be seen pejoratively, but also is just like, look at how fun this is. Like, we're here. We're having a great time. Mm-hmm. I've got a good team. We're winning baseball games. You know, let's not lose sight of that. Let's have some fun with it. His post-game conferences can be very playful. He likes to bring young members of his family, his son, up to the podium with him for post games. And he likes to go back and forth with reporters. Craig Counsell, for that part of the job was more of an obligation for him. For Pat Murphy, I think it's one of his favorite parts, really. I think he's having a very good time. And that rubs off, you know, when you're having a good time.
And I think there's a knock-on effect for the fans, specifically for myself. I can get wrapped up in baseball, specifically the Brewers, their wins, losses. You know, if they lose two games, I'm like, my day isn't ruined, but I'm like, it's in my head like, oh, we lost two games. I just want to win one. I'll feel good if we win one, so on and so forth. What Pat Murphy does for a fan like myself is he allows me to exist between the checking every score every day and that 30,000 foot view of the casual fan, which is like, oh, I'm going to a game today. This first one this season. Because I trust him. Craig Counsell was business. He was focused. Pat Murphy, he's here and he wants you to be here and he wants us to have a good time. And he's always sits there going, don't worry, we got this. We're going to be great. We're undaunted. And I'm like, yeah, we are, Pat. This will be fun.
Think of how many times in recent memory the Brewers have been down two or three runs. And because the offense is quite a bit better than it has been in recent years, you don't lose trust that they're going to score at least a little bit, you know. And maybe Monday night is actually a good example. Even though they lost big, they were down 2-0, came right back, tied the game. Then things got away from them. But it is customary for them to go down and not be out of a game. That has been happening routinely lately. Now, at some point, you probably just want to get big leads, keep big leads, and not worry about it like they did on Wednesday night. But still, this is this team is adopting his personality, and that's not surprising. He's been here, you know, like everyone knows him before this season. He was a perfect foil for Craig Counsell, and now he's in the top chair, and the vibes are great. Why wouldn't they be? This team is a first place team heading into the All-Star break, and Pat Murphy is front runner for manager of the year, I think.
Wow. Outside of,
you know, the Phillies are very good. They won 60 games. Their manager, Rob Thompson, is probably, he's got to be in that conversation too. But I don't think a lot of people thought that the Brewers were going to be the juggernaut in this division. And maybe, you know, nothing is set in stone, but I don't think people thought that really anywhere. Maybe they thought that they would do just enough in a weak division, but I don't think anybody thought they'd be 54-39 here with four games to go before the break. That's a lot. So I think he's going to win the award. I think he's going to be the front runner for that award.
I personally think that even if we have the post All-Star meltdown, which I don't think it's even going to be a meltdown. I think it'll just be less wins maybe, but whatever that may be, even at the end of the season, I'm still going to feel good personally because like, all right, we got a good skipper. We got a team who's excited. And no one expected anything from us this season. So, all right.
Yeah.
Let's pack it up for next season. You know what I mean? Like, there's hope. Total hope in my mind.
Yeah. And look at, I mean, the starting rotation has not been set in stone really all year long. You know, they've had pretty significant challenges. A couple injuries to position players, mostly pitchers, but they've had those challenges and they are still in this position. Next year, you know, if God forbid the thing goes south, and then next year, you know, next year they got a lot of guys in the minors who are ready to pitch and will be contributors next year. And then Brandon Woodruff should theoretically be healthy, and a lot of the guys that have blossomed this year should still be here. So yeah, I mean, that's one way to look at it. Like, they're trending up again, which is crazy, because coming into the year I would have said, oh, they're definitely trending down, but it doesn't feel like the case at all right now.
with a little bit of time we have left, JR, and I don't know, are you a big soccer fan? My husband is English, so I am soccer fan adjacent, and he's very excited that England now is going to admit, there's 9,000 tournaments in soccer, so I'm not exactly sure which one is this Sunday, but England is going to be taking on soccer, and my husband is a little concerned, England is taking on Spain, and my husband is a little bit concerned that they're going to lose to Spain.
Well, they might. I mean, Spain has a 16-year-old. I don't know if you've had a chance to see this kid play. He scored in the semifinal of the Euro Cup. Incredible, incredible player. I don't know who's going to win. I'm not smart enough to be able to predict. I would say that both teams are very, very good. England had to rally to get there. So I am not a huge soccer fan. I do pay a little attention to the Copa America and the Euro Cup, and my son definitely pays attention to it. So it's very good stuff to turn on in the middle of the day and just have that kind of, I mean, it's really high level soccer. It's really thrilling soccer. This is not the stereotypical soccer that people in America still want to say exists, you know, at that level. It's really fun to watch.
J.R. Ratcliffe joins us every other Thursday at this time to talk all things sports. Have fun down at the ballpark today, J.R. Really appreciate you squeezing us in.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
See you in a couple. Stay close. Brittany Merlot, weather and wine on the way next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She joins us every Thursday at this time. A little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. How you doing, Brittany?
Good, good. How are you guys doing this morning?
Well, this morning was so, when I left for work this morning about 7 o'clock, it was so nice out and it still had that fresh, cool air feeling.
Crispy
air. And that's going away soon.
It is going away soon. So you're going to want to enjoy it today and tomorrow because that's it.
That's
after
the end.
That.
it's going to get really hot and really sticky, right?
Yes, it is. And really fast too. So I think by Saturday, we're going to start to really feel that stickiness creep into the western areas like La Crosse or so. But then by Sunday, statewide, we are going to be feeling very, very hot and muggy. Temperatures, of course, rising to near 90 degrees for a lot of us. And dew points into the mid-70s.
Ooh.
Felt that. Yeah. So those together, pair them together, you get a heat index of nearly the triple digits. It could be anywhere from 100 to 105, feeling like into some places Sunday and Monday. Ugh.
So it's going to be a really hot start to the Republican National Convention that starts in downtown Milwaukee. And events are starting this weekend, I think. So certainly into the early part of next week. Are storms going to come in then and wash this away and give us a little break?
Well, storms are definitely going to come in when this warm front hits us. So Saturday, we are looking at a slight risk for some severe weather, and mainly into northwest Wisconsin. I think those storms are going to roll out of Minnesota and then head into our state. But we are going to have two different cold fronts passing through, potentially Monday, Tuesday. So, of course, those are going to fire up some storms. So I think Tuesday and afterwards, we'll get a little cool down, temperatures below average, and dry conditions. That is until EAA Air Venture starts, then we get hot and humid again. Go figure.
Yeah. I mean, that's makes sense. Makes sense. Now, one of the things, Brittany, we were talking about before you got in the air about, you know, things to discuss today, you said the importance of getting cooled down. Can you talk more about that?
Yes, absolutely. So when you think about it, the humidity is kind of like the air is full of water, so it can't evaporate your sweat as fast as it should and usually does. So today we're outside running around, you're sweating, it's evaporating, our bodies are staying the right temperature. Now comes Sunday, you do the same activity, you're going to get hit harder. You're going to start to feel different heat illnesses going on. And I'll tell you, it sneaks up on you. Heat is a silent killer.
Yes.
And I've actually had an experience where I've almost blacked out and had heat stroke and needed to go to the hospital. And I'm young, I'm active, it snuck up on me. It can happen to anyone.
What were you doing when that happened to you, Brittany?
Honestly, I was just went on a little nice kayak, nothing crazy. Then I was just walking around town. That's when it hit me.
I mean, I remember when I was a young kid, I was playing baseball in a field in Waukesha, and all of a sudden, just my vision went away. I was seeing like, you know, like if you rub your eyes, that thing, it just overtook me. And I just had to sit down and I realized I hadn't drank any water and it was like 100 degrees outside. And my dad's like, yeah, you have heat exhaustion right now. You need to be inside. And I mean, I mowed the lawn last weekend and it took me like 25 minutes to come back from it because I was so hot. It was terrible. Yeah.
Well, that's a real good reminder for all of us to stay well hydrated. That means water. If you're going to have a couple beers, that's great, but you have to supplement with water. Coffee's not going to provide you enough water.
Yeah, keep those sugary drinks, too. They'll dehydrate you as well.
Yep, absolutely. Let's talk about hair. Greg was talking about this, and I know you, I think you mentioned something when you were on with Pat Kreitlow earlier this morning. What is it about humidity that makes people's hair go?
Well, it's just all that moisture, right? So your natural hair is going to come out if you have that curl, that wave, that frizz. It's got all that moisture, and it's just going to poof.
Yeah.
Not listen to you.
I wish that would happen to me.
Do you?
Yes. I do.
Want to trade? Let's trade.
I would in a heartbeat because I have very fine hair, which I call thin, and the humidity just makes it look more like a helmet than it already does. I don't get any of the fushy, you know, the floofy. I would kill for a little floof.
No person with curls has ever said, I love the floof in the heat. It's not runway model. And I mean, the thing is, I have slightly wavy hair and... Like, you know how someone has bad knees? They're like, oh, my knee's acting up. We're going to get rain. I know when I start to get some curl at the bottom of my hair. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Storms are a gathering.
But again, a very good reminder for people who work outside for the early part of next week. And people certainly still work on weekends. If you're going to be out mowing your lawn, don't take your pets with you in the car when you're running errands when it's this hot. I just read about I think it was in Florida, somebody had their window smashed in because they left their dog in the car, and dogs can heat up to 100 degrees or more in a very, very short period of time.
Absolutely. I mean, that car, you give it 10 minutes, it's pumping up 20 degrees higher with the window cracked.
And the other thing too is if you can stay indoors, stay indoors. If there's air conditioning available. Folks, if you have loved ones who are older and they're on their own, check in with them.
Yes.
Because this is this can be a dangerous time for them as well. So just be cognizant, be aware, you know.
And stay safe.
Stay safe and keep that hair looking good, people.
She joins us every other Thursday for a little weather and wine. Brittany Merlot, thank you so very, very much. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
We'll talk to you next week. Stick around. We have news coming up next, followed by the one and only Todd Alba. From noon to 2 p.m., followed by the award-winning Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m. So thank you to Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Remember, not being informed doesn't make you powerful, but it does leave you vulnerable. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay here. You're listening to Civic Media Radio Network. News is next.